Please be seated. And as you do, please take out your missal. We'll be looking at this today on the first page. So today is called, as you can see on the top part here, one of the titles of this Sunday is called Sunday After the Transfiguration. Sunday After Transfiguration. So we've said another time that the great feasts of the Lord, they're on a day. But then there's a festal or post-festal period that extends 5, 6, 7, 8 days. And one of the good reasons for that is so that there could be a Sunday that falls within that period, because maybe a lot of people couldn't come to the actual feast. So the Sunday after these great feasts is a little bit of a repeat of the themes and the teachings. And so here we are today and able to explain some of these things to you because it is the Sunday after Transfiguration. So turn to the where it says third antiphon. Don't worry about that. But it says, you were transfigured on the mountain. We're going to look at that hymn right now. And when we look at a hymn, you should know that there's going to be something from the Bible, which is going to be historical. Then there's going to be something of an explanation of what the Bible said. There's going to be something of theology in there, an explanation of that, and usually a kind of a prayer that goes with it. So you see, we all know the story. You were transfigured upon the mountain, O Christ our God, showing to your disciples your glory. Okay? As much as they could bear. That as much as they could bear doesn't really say that in the Bible, but the Holy Fathers are understanding that the glory of God is unbearable. So they would have burned up if they were presented with the, full glory of God. So in as much as they were able to see it, they were allowed at that moment to see it. So that gives us another little explanation. Go down, before we go to the next part of that hymn, go to the hymn in the second column, which says, upon the mountain you were transfigured. Another hymn from the Transfiguration. Again, the history. And your disciples beheld your glory as far as they were able. And now it explains one of the reasons why. It says, so that when they saw you crucified and in that humiliating and awful state and dying on the cross, having seen, at least those three, having seen him in his glory, they would know that he was actually God and was allowing these things to happen to him. Okay? Still, Peter denied him, so that was a real weakness, a human weakness there. Later, however, they were able, because they had seen that glory, they would be able then to preach both the crucifixion and the resurrection and the glory. They were witnesses to that. And if you want more of that, you can read in St. Peter's epistles where he talks about that he was one of the three that saw the glory. Go back to that first hymn now. And it says, here's the prayer. Do also in us, sinners that we be, shine your everlasting light. So the whole purpose of recording in the Bible the transfiguration, or that the transfiguration happened, was beginning with the apostles, beginning with those three, and then later with the others, and later with all Christians who would believe and purify themselves. That is to see God as far as one is able, to experience the uncreated glory. And now the hymn is guiding us to pray for that. As a segue now, prayer, the transfiguration, that two people appeared with the Lord when he was transfigured. There was the Lord and there was Elijah, the prophet, and Moses, okay, the giver of the law. And there's several reasons why those two, why the Lord summoned the soul of Moses and summoned Elias, who didn't die yet. Both of those, if you read in your Bible stories, you know that both of those men asked to see God. They had this experience. They were speaking with the Lord. Moses was on mountain getting the Ten Commandments. Elias was hiding from the people. And they're having this dialogue and they say, show me your glory. I want to see you. And the Lord said, you cannot see, you can't see me full glory. And there's this, you can read it. But here is a fulfillment of their prayer. What they waited hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the Lord summoned them. And now in the Transfiguration, they actually did experience the Lord in his glory. So which is an encouragement to all of us to know that there is an answer to prayer, maybe in time, a long time for them. But by asking for to see the glory, if we do and live the Christian life, we may also be worthy of that in this life. And then it ends with, through the intercessions of the Theotokos. And you might say, well, we always ask for the intercessions of the Theotokos, but there's also an internal logic here, because we are in this 14-day preparatory period for the Feast of the Dormition. So it's all connecting these sort of dots in there to say it all kind of makes sense within itself. One last thing we should say is that the scholars have told us that the Transfiguration as an event probably took place around 40 days before the crucifixion. Not in August, but, you know, sometime in the spring or late winter. But, you know, maybe when they were setting up these feasts and deciding how the church calendar should be, maybe one of the considerations was that 40 days before Good Friday, we're in Lent, there's a whole lot of other things going on at that time. So the other sort of internal logic is, if you count 40 days from today, there's another feast of the cross, the crucifixion, the elevation of the cross on September 14th. So even though it was moved, it was put in, you know, juxtaposition to this other Feast of the Cross, and there's always this preserve, this kind of logic within the church. There were more hymns about this feast earlier at the beginning of the service, which began today at 8:15, and it's another good reason to come at the beginning, because that's where all the special hymns of a particular day are sung, you know, at the earlier part of the worship. Let's stand and pray now.